He said, you're worried and upset about many things. That's what the Lord said to the woman. You're worried and upset about many things. Jesus knew Martha was worried and upset about many things. Sometimes we get upset about many things. The Lord said about many things, not just about something. The Lord knew that her complaint about her sister Mary not coming to join her in the serving had nothing to do with the serving for that day. There was a long story behind it. The master said, Martha, you are worried and upset. You're troubled and upset about many things. Did you ever get to that place in your life where you were troubled and upset about many things? Many things about your job, many things about your relationship with somebody, many things about even where you live. And then you're upset. And you know, when you're upset, many things begin to happen. You get frustrated, and the frustration reveals itself in so many things, so many ways. You become easily angry, easily offended. Someone talks to you, and your reply is strange. You normally wouldn't talk like that, but you're upset. So many things are going through your mind. And what's actually happening is your experiences are now introducing a character into your life. They're changing you. Character into your life. They're changing you. You're no longer that kindly, well-mannered you used to be. That friendly person you used to be. It's changing you now. What you're going through is changing you. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. He didn't say you're worried and upset about your sister. No, he said about many things. Where are you in your life? Are you worried and upset about many things? It's possible. You can be worried and upset about many things. And they say, you can be worried and upset about many things. And they say, what's the problem? You said there are a lot of problems. You don't even know where to start. A lot of problems. That means you are not enjoying your life. You're not enjoying the life that God gave you. And so, you're not an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Because you have become a candidate needing some kind of ministration. You're in need. You are the needy. Someone needs to counsel you. Someone needs to intercede for you now. So you should remain in the faith. So it's become a problem. How not enjoying that life yourself? What we received is a gospel. Gospel is good news. And if it's not working good for you, something's wrong. Yesterday, we started out to explain how that God has given us a life to enjoy. And that one of the things God wants us to have in our lives is joy. And went on to define joy. So we can have a joyful life always. But it's a choice. It's a choice. You can live a frustrated life just because there's someone who you think doesn't like you. And you can live all so many years, so many months, so many weeks trying to prove yourself to that person. And you don't need it. So instead of enjoying your life, you're spending time trying to be something else, because you see, you're trying to appeal to what whoever it is thinks about you. Do you ever find yourself trying to live in a way so you can be better appreciated? That would not be you. That would be someone else. If you don't enjoy yourself, no one will enjoy you. Learn to enjoy yourself. Learn to be happy about yourself. Start out there. Learn to enjoy yourself. Learn to be happy about yourself. Start out there. Start out there. Appreciate yourself. Appreciate yourself. Remember something. You know, the greatest gift you could give to anybody is yourself. Right? You can have anything that's greater than you. And so when we say that we've given our lives to Christ, we're thinking we've given Him the greatest gift, because He gave us His life. He gave us the greatest gift. He laid down His life for us. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to give God my life. And I don't want to change it. Then He gives me the tools to change it. And I ignore the tools. And every day I'm living a frustrated life. So that's not good for God. It's not good for God. We said yesterday, God made us to be happy for Himself. Listen, He created us for Himself to derive pleasure in us. He made us for Himself to make Himself happy. I don't know if I've stressed it enough. God wanted to be happy and made us for His own pleasure. Throws it, I think that's selfish. I don't blame you. Because you have a brain. If He didn't give you one, you wouldn't even think. No, because now we have the clay trying to talk to the potter and to say, why did you make me this way? You mean you made me for yourself? He made you. And you question the one who made you. It's nonsense. You're supposed to say, wow, you made me. You must be really great. You mean you made me? You must be something. Think about it. But if God made you, He must be really cool. Yes, He must be something. No matter what you think about you, this complicated whatever it is called you, what would you do for it? If you found out that truly He made you, what would you do for it? Would you say, wow, how can I outsmart Him? He made you. What do you think? He must be smarter than you. No, if God stepped down now and introduced Himself to you and said to you, hello, I made you, and you believed Him, what would you do? Talk to me. No, if He told you, I made you, and you found out that He did, and you agreed with Him that He did, What would you do with that? I mean, that information would be something. So what would you do with it? What would you do? Talk to me. So if he told you, I meet you, and you found out that he did, and you agreed with him that he did, what would you do with that? I mean, that information would be something. So what would you do with it? Would you be looking at him like, wow? What would you do with it? Come on. Again? You what? You would thank him. I would think the first thing you should say to him is why? Yeah, because you didn't ask him to. And then he introduces himself and says, I made you. You say, why? Reality. That's the truth about it. That's exactly what has happened. And that's what he's trying to get across to us, that he made us for his own pleasure. And I told you yesterday, if it's true that he made us for his own pleasure, then it means that he delights in us. It means that he's happy about us. He wants to be happy about us. And if he wants to be happy about us, then he wants us happy. Because if we're not happy, he can't be happy about us. And I read you several scriptures to show you that God loves us. And that God wants us happy and prosperous and joyful. And that God delights in us. And wants us to enjoy the life that he has given us. So, when should we enjoy it? Now. Every day. Every day should be the life that he has given us. So, when should we enjoy it? Now. Every day. Every day should be a good day. I have a good day every day. I made up my mind long time ago, years ago. And once I decided, because I found it in the Word. Once I decided, I set my sail. And I went for it. And it's been every day a day of victory. Every day a day of joy. Every day a day of fulfillment. Every day. Every day. So was it, do you mean that you don't face challenges? I don't know what you mean by challenges. But if you mean things that happen and you got to put your faith to work, emphatically yes. But there are things that I tried. So I think that if the devil is not troubling, nothing is happening, no trouble, everything is cool and calm, I start wondering, is the devil trying to do something somewhere? But I always like to keep him somewhere where he ought to be. So I don't mind him causing some trouble. When he causes trouble, I say, yeah, that means I'm dealing with him, that's why. So for me, life is always prosperous, always successful, always joyful, always, always, absolutely. Now, you either agree with that, or you listen to some other folks who will tell you, life is full of ups and downs. That's their experience. I know that that's their experience because that's their communication. Life is full of ups and downs. That's their experience. I know that that's their experience because that's their communication. That's what they found with God. It's up today and down tomorrow. They're happy today and not very happy tomorrow. Some prayers are answered well and some are not answered. So they're not sure where they are with God. So the Christianity is like a speculation. But I don't think that's the way the Word of God ought to be. I think we are successful every day. And It only gets better because the Word of God tells us that the path of the righteous is as the shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. Glory to His name forever. And so this Martha was troubled and upset. And Jesus knew. And Jesus said something to her. I'd like us to read it. I read again from verse 41. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, "You're worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. That's that one thing that's needed. And it will not be taken away from her." That's what the Lord said. It will not be taken away from her. See, people who are upset and unhappy and frustrated, away from her. That's what the Lord said. It will not be taken away from her. See, people who are upset and unhappy and frustrated like to take from others who are happy that thing that makes them happy. Because when you're frustrated, you don't know, you have no reason why someone else should be so happy. Did you ever feel like maybe the sense of frustration with a sense of urgency, and while you're there, you don't feel like laughing, and some fellow just comes laughing and looking happy? Get out of here. You've just knocked the joy out of you. Because you don't think that's the moment. You're having a frustration moment. See? And you like to protect it. Yeah, against them. And so they talk about it. They protect the problem. They keep talking about how they were mistreated by someone, and then the other one, and then the other one. Well, such is life. They feel like they're going through something. And they love it. They don't want to come out of it. They love to go through this persecution, as it were. And the feeling that they are alone and persecuted. And they don't have friends except you that they can talk to. You are the only one that can tell these things, you know. And you keep telling him or telling her, and she's just listening to your stories. Things just never get better. 3 weeks later, you're back again. It's the same story. It just never changes. And you are secretly happy to be going through this thing. Because I know I don't like trouble. I don't really like trouble. But why do you preserve your trouble? Why do you preserve it? Why do you protect it? Why do you love it so much? I'll give you a simple example so you can know how you love trouble sometimes. Imagine that someone has offended you and you're waiting for that person to come and apologize. And then he's not coming to apologize. He's even acting as though he didn't do nothing wrong. Every day you see him, you're like, is it that he doesn't know what he did? Now you are carrying the burden of this frustration, but you don't realize it. You are unhappy. But he's looking happy. Everything is normal with him. And you can't believe it. But you're still waiting for him to apologize. You might even get to the point where you begin to pray to God to knock him out and tell him to come and apologize to you. Can't believe it. But you're still waiting for him to apologize. You might even get to the point where you begin to pray to God to knock him out and tell him to come and apologize to you. And he's not coming. You know you can have stomach ulcer because of that. It's true. You can have an ulcer because of that. Because the happier you see him, the more frustrated you are. Because you want to see him knocked out and sad. Now you know. Or he should come and apologize to the great you. Now, I tell you how to fix that. Instead of wasting days and weeks and months staying and remaining frustrated because of this, whatever it is, whatever you might want to call him, that refuse to staying and remaining frustrated because of this, whatever it is, whatever you might want to call him, that refuse to come to you to apologize. And now you're unhappy. And it's affecting you everywhere. Maybe now you're coming late to work because of that. There are things you're supposed to do you can't do just because every time you're working, that thing goes through your mind. He still hasn't apologized. And then you stop your work. You're thinking, he is not there. He's just going through your mind. You've traveled in your mind back to the land of frustration. 2 hours gone. You're supposed to submit something. You haven't even started. Then suddenly you wake up and you come back to yourself. Close. Because he has come close. Instead of doing that, why don't you just go and apologize and end it? You take the step. Go and apologize. You apologize. And when you apologize, the whole thing will come to an end. And you start living happy. You say, I should apologize. He offended me. I know he offended you. But you see, the thing is affecting you and is destroying your life. So why don't you bring it to an abrupt stop by going to him to say, I'm sorry about that. He will say, ah, I thought I was the one that offended. No, I'm tired of keeping things like this. You'll find that you are the master of circumstances. So they will not dictate how you live. God needs you. God needs you to be happy for you to be successful. You need it. You need it. A lady died of cancer. Why did she die of cancer? When the cancer started, and I was informed, I sent a message to her that she should stop worrying about her husband because, you know, she had so many things against her husband. You know, he was living wild. He was just, you know. I mean, if he did come to her Sunday service, it was a miracle. The pastor was happy. She was happy. Everybody was happy that he came. But then, of course, it'll be some weeks. Some weeks. So, I sent a message to her. I said, you are in a greater problem than your husband. Let your husband go. In other words, stop holding these grudges against your husband because this is the reason for your cancer. No prayer can help you. What you need is to forgive and to forgive genuinely. Oh, she said she tried. Well, maybe she tried. But somehow he got worse and really misbehaved a little more. And she was frustrated. She got more angry. And the cancer got larger. Then I said, I don't think, if you don't forgive your husband, if you're going to keep this kind of feeling and hold your bitterness, this cancer will kill you. Because you've given it a home in your life. But what is God going to do about him? That was her anger. God's not going to do anything about him. God wants to do something about you. Think about what God wants to do with your life. And stop worrying about him. If you stop worrying about him, God will be able to do something about him. But as long as you're worried about him, God can do nothing with your life. And then you create a home for Satan. Oh, she said, okay. Then she got healed. Then she got angry again. And the cancer came back. And when the cancer came back, her frustration, she got healed. Then she got angry again. And the cancer came back. And when the cancer came back, her frustration just went wild. And the husband wasn't changing. And then she died of it. The cancer killed her. She didn't die of cancer because cancer was a great, great enemy. No, she died of cancer because she just wouldn't let the cancer go. The cancer was the unforgiveness that she had in her heart. Understand something about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tool. It's a marvelous tool for your own happiness. When you give that forgiveness, okay? When you give it to someone else, they were so wrong, or you were so right. It's got nothing to do with right and wrong. It's in your own interest. You forgive. Don't wait for them to apologize. Apology and repentance are not the same anyway. Just because somebody apologized to you doesn't mean he's repentant. So if someone says, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean he has changed his way of thinking. He might still hold to the same opinion and do the same thing next time. So apology is not repentance. You know, in our country, apology is a currency. And I tell people, don't use apology as a currency. Ah, but I've apologized. They think that they have bought the forgiveness with apology. But I've apologized, haven't I? I said I'm sorry. Have I not said it? So they think that once they have presented that apology, they ought to get their money's worth. You get it? You know, the apology ought to get for them whatever it is they wanted. He came late. And I said, I'm sorry. And the man says, no, you're not entering. Sorry now. Because he's surprised. After saying sorry. Because to him, his apology is a currency. He has presented the currency for purchase. So give me my commodity. I paid. In Europe, when you say you are sorry, you go back. I'm very sorry for coming late. I'll make sure I don't do that next time. You go. In Nigeria, you say, I'm sorry, then you wait. You are still waiting. Say you are sorry and go. See, but we've been raised to think that apology is a currency. We are wrong. See, growing up wrong. That's why sometimes we don't know when we've done something wrong. We are not even sure. And when we're punished for doing something wrong, we think that other person who is punishing us is too strict, he's harsh, he's wicked. The man says, the gate is locked. You are supposed to come at 8. Sorry, you can't enter. Very wicked man. You see, that's their response. Very wicked man. That's in Nigeria. You're not allowed to do your job. A wicked man, because he took actions against you. Even the judge in the court of law, when the judge has passed the sentence, the family members of the accused say, wicked man, can you? Because he took actions against you. Even the judge in the court of law, when the judge has passed the sentence, the family members of the accused say, wicked man, can you imagine what he said? Wicked man, gave you life imprisonment. Wicked. They don't see the law. They see the judge as a person. If they could beg him there, they would. But the lawyer says, you can't talk. I talk for you. He said, trying to get the judge's attention. See, it's a society. We've been raised that way. And it's so terribly wrong. so wrong. We have to change our way of thinking. One thing is necessary, and Mary has gotten it, and it will not be taken away from her. What is this one thing? Well, the Bible says that Mary was sitting at the feet of the Master, listening to His teaching, listening to His word. She was listening to the Master. She was in the presence of the Master, listening to Him. What food do you want to prepare, Martha? He fed 5,000 men. The women and the children were not counted. He fed them with a little boy's lunch. Why don't you sit at His feet and let Him fix the food for you? She wants to impress Him. Ask the disciples where Jesus got fish from. They were fishing. And He said, "Children, do you have any?" "No, we haven't got anything." He said, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat and you shall find." They enclosed a multitude of fishes. John said to Peter, "It's the Master." They got out of the water. And then He said, "Bring some of the fish you caught." And they went to Jesus and found Him preparing fish. They met Him preparing fish. And He said, "Bring some of those ones." Because He wanted them to compare them. The miracle fish from His word and the one from the water. How will you impress the Creator of the universe? What do you want to do to impress Him? Even our prayer has become work. If you're not sweating, you don't think He has heard you. Then when you are now sweating, you think, "Yes." Then when you are now sweating, you think, "Yes." You know, we can't even pray to God simply anymore. If you haven't lost your voice in prayer, you don't think you've started. Can we impress Him that way? No. No. So why are you suffering when you should be enjoying your life? You know, some people, they say that, "Do put all your effort in your work. Find some time to go to the beach or go to the cinema or take a walk or go window shopping." All of those things don't necessarily bring you joy. You can have wait till Saturday. Say, "No, my Saturday is reserved for me. It's my special day of cooling off." Of what? Of your frustration of Monday to Friday. You see, such people don't enjoy their lives when they can actually enjoy every moment. Enjoy every day of their lives. And be happy about what you do. Take pleasure in yourself. Relish the moment. Right? Yeah. Yesterday we read it. That He gives us richly all things to enjoy. You enjoy them. Enjoy those things. This thing that you wore. Did you have time to look at it in the mirror? And said, "Lord, thank you for this shirt. Wow, this looks nice." Did you have time to appreciate yourself? Then when you come to work and nobody sees what you are wearing, say, "They don't even know what I'm wearing." Nobody sees what you are wearing, say, "They don't even know what I'm wearing." But you didn't see it yourself. You didn't even see it. You didn't see it. So start learning to enjoy your life. And you'll be amazed at what happens. See, remember this. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a difference between joy, just joy, the joy of the Lord, and joy in the Holy Ghost. three different times. You can have joy in its natural phenomenon. And you can have the joy of the Lord. Now, the joy of the Lord is voice. Glory to God. We rejoice in what the Lord has done. Joy in the Holy Ghost, on the other hand, is that joy that is evoked from your spirit when you are filled with the Spirit. That's the joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the joy that's evoked in your spirit when you're filled in the Holy Ghost. And usually it's expressed in some shouting, in some singing, in some outburst, you know. You're dancing in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's joy in the Holy Ghost. It's usually not connected to something that has happened, something that you received, something that the Lord has done. Not necessarily. But it's connected to a move of the Spirit, something that you received, something that the Lord has done. Not necessarily. But it's connected to a move of the Spirit of God within your spirit. Sometimes you don't even know in your mind why you are rejoicing so. Because it's not coming from your mind. It's like when you're speaking in other tongues and you come to the point where you're laughing in the spirit and you're singing in the spirit. It's not because of anything that you can connect it to at the moment. But it's just bubbling from within you. Glory to God. That's joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's all good. They're all nice. We should be joyful because we're children of God. We should have the joy of the Lord because of what He's done in our lives. What He's done for us. We say, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Our spirits. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. That's why it tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, learn to enjoy the moment. Learn to enjoy your life. And when you start enjoying your life, you'll be helping other people enjoy their life. There are too many people who are suffering for nothing. Just unhappy for nothing. They're aging for nothing. And they don't know. They look at their lives and they can't find anything to be happy about. There's nothing to be happy about. And when they come around, others who are happy, they say, why is everybody happy here? They don't even use the word happy. They say, why is everybody like this? And then you say, oh, well, it's a good day. Is that why? And they just, I'm here to work. Work, 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 work. And the more they work, the less they're recognized for what they do. And then they become more and more frustrated. Look at Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, and the Master enjoying her presence. Yeah. And Martha's working. And Jesus looks over and says, Martha, Martha, why are you suffering like this? That's the paraphrase of what you know. So you are worried about so many things. And did he go ahead to solve her problem? No. He was aware. He said, you are troubled and upset about many things. He didn't say, let me try to solve them. No. He said, Mary has gotten the solution. Consult her. That was it. Because he recommends. Troubled and upset about many things. He didn't say, let me try to solve them. No. He said, Mary has gotten the solution. Consult her. That was it. Because he recommends. Sisters, Mary has gotten the answer. And he didn't say anything more to Martha. You think if God knows my problem, he should solve it. He's not like that. He doesn't solve your problem because he knows it. No. So you can suffer and suffer and suffer. And you say, but I'm in ministry. Why am I suffering like this? I'm in ministry. I'm working in ministry. Is this how ministry is? Then sometimes the people who think some people are enjoying and some people are suffering. It's not fair. The inequality in the society is also in the church. Who is the cause of the inequality in the society? It's in society. It's human response. It's human response. Good or bad. Human response. Whether some people are wicked, it's their response. See, frustrated people make others frustrated. Look at that guy who killed people in Norway. He was frustrated. He said he was fed up. He didn't want Muslims to take over Europe. That's what he said. And he'd rather die and kill others. He's going to get the attention of the government. And the government must be blamed for what he's going to do. So he goes on rampage, kills so many people, and says the government is responsible for trying to allow the Muslims to take over Europe. That's the reason he killed 76 people. Horrible. And he's not repentant. Same thing with the terrorists. All the other terrorists, they're all frustrated. Try to get attention. Frustrated people are murderers. So you can be very dangerous if you're frustrated. You can be very dangerous. There's no telling how far you go if your frustration is allowed to continue. Maybe that's why God is asking me to talk to you. Frustrated people are dangerous. They are a time bomb. Dangerous. One frustrated fellow can ruin a lot of good. But you have a choice. That choice is either to drop, lay your frustration aside and move on, or keep your frustration and remain frustrated. Can you see it? It's a choice. And when you are not happy, you can't fulfill the call of God in your life. That's the dangerous part of it. You can't fulfill the call of God. You won't be the person that you're supposed to be. You'll be living a different life from the life you're supposed to be living. And you'll be blaming someone else for it continually. How long will you blame someone else for your failures? How long? We vent our frustrations on others all the time. We want them to be unhappy because we are unhappy. We find no reason why they should be happy when we are unhappy. And the chain reaction that we have a frustrated society. Praise God. You can change that, right? Would you want to change that? Okay, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. One thing is needful, right? Let's see what that one thing is. Psalm 27. Read verse 4. Okay, great. I want to read, I seek, inquire for, and insistently require one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence, all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is David saying here? To be in His presence. To live in His presence. That's what he's saying. To live in His presence. to function in His presence, to recognize His presence. That's what Mary did. Mary recognized that presence and was attracted to that presence. And was attracted to His teaching, to His word, and prized it above others. Recognized that presence and was attracted to that presence. And was attracted to His teaching, to His word, and prized it above other things. And the Lord said, it's just one thing you need, and this is it. Why? Because you see, that one thing will equip you for everything else in life. Praise God. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, St. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 25. Are you there? Okay. It says, therefore I tell you, and Jesus is talking here, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually worried about your life. About your life. Stop being uneasy about your life. Stop being worried about your life. Oh, if you could stop worrying about your life. If you could stop worrying about your life. This is what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body. What you shall put on, is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds here. Jesus saying this, this is wonderful. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into bands. And yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, one cubit to his stature, or to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will He not much more surely clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. He knows you need them. He says, don't be worried. Worrying is affecting you. It's changing your life now. Why are you so worried? He says, do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. I like that. That's the 34th verse. Don't be worried or anxious about tomorrow. I told you yesterday, two things that destroy today's happiness. They are yesterday's regret and the fear of tomorrow, the dread of tomorrow, the worries of tomorrow. We haven't even gotten there yet. We're already worried. The fear of the future. Fear of the future doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to the country. It doesn't have to go that far. It can be as little as you're going to the office and you're dreading what's going to happen at the office today. You can be dreading a meeting that has just been called. All managers have been called for a meeting. Hey, what is happening again? See, You haven't even gotten there yet. You haven't heard why. Why some are very happy because they're thinking they're going to get something out of this. Did they see what we're having a meeting? Did they see? I heard they said, we have a meeting. All managers. Okay. See, you're dreading the meeting. All managers. Okay. See, you're dreading the meeting already. It's robbing you of present happiness. Decide to be happy today. Don't allow the frustration. Even in our attempts to be happy, we can become frustrated. You know that. Nobody's going to spoil my joy. Nobody. I'm going to be happy today. Nobody. You're frustrated. Nobody's going to spoil my joy. Nobody. Nobody. Pastor said to be happy. I'm going to be happy. You're not happy. You're already manifesting frustration in attempt to be happy. Okay, look at verse 33. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive at. When I have issues with people, I don't try to find out who's right and who's wrong. I like to know what is God's righteousness in it. What does God want? Not whether A or B is right. And then all these things, I like it. He says, all these things taken together in one package. See, when God blesses you, He doesn't go, one, and I'll give you A, and I won't give you B. Okay, I'll give you C, and I'll leave out D. He says, all these things taken together will be given you besides. That means an addition. All these things taken together in one package. When God blesses you, you are blessed, brother. Besides. That means an addition. All these things taken together in one package. When God blesses you, you are blessed, brother. You're blessed, sister. He blesses you in one full package. Everything is in it. Say this. Say, I'm very smart. I'm very intelligent. That's important. That's important. I'm very smart. I'm very intelligent. I know who I am. Hallelujah. Just another thought. Can I make my life simpler? Because your life can be very, very complex. You know, have a very complicated life. You know, can you make your life simpler? You can make your life less complicated. Less complicated. Make yourself happier. How can you do it? They say, that man is very easygoing. I'm not talking about the man that says he's very easygoing. I'm talking about simplicity in Christ. Okay? There's a simplicity in Christ. God's not complicated. There's a simplicity in Christ. That's what I'm looking at. Hallelujah. Okay, thanks now. Okay, think about this. What about when you go through some ill treatment? Have you been treated badly? Have you ever been treated badly? You can be treated badly at home, in a neighborhood. Okay, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. James chapter 5, I will read to you from verse 13. Have you noticed what it says? Glory to God. He says, is anyone among you afflicted? You afflicted? Ill-treated? Suffering evil? He should pray. I like that. He didn't say he should talk back. He should get bitter. He should complain. He said he should pray. God is aware that you could be ill-treated. So he says, is anyone among you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? That means being treated wrongly. He says, he should pray. He says, pray. That's how you respond. He says, pray. You want to live God's word, right? God said, if you're mistreated, ill-treated, badly treated, pray. Then, go to Psalm 37 and look at verse 4. Are you there? I want to read it from the Amplified. It's very beautiful here. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. There are secret petitions. Those things that your heart craves for. When you're talking to God and you can't talk to nobody about them, God hears. He says, He'll grant you your desires and the secret petitions of your heart. What did He tell you to do? What's your own part? Delight yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. 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 Get happy about... Listen, I tell you something. Get happy about what you do. Get happy about your work. Get happy about your work. Get happy about your assignments. Get happy about when you're going to work. The trip to work. Get happy about it. Somebody says, I don't look forward to going to work. You are really suffering. You might think that your problem is the experiences, the bad experiences you have at work. No. You are the cause of the bad experiences. How could I be the cause of the bad experiences? I've tried my best. It's the way they react to me. It's what they've done to me. No. Have you ever thought of the fact that it is possible to attract the worst part of other people? Have you ever thought about it? You know, you can evoke the worst of someone's character towards you. Those same people who are bad to you. No. There's something about you that's attracting this whip that's coming to you all the time. Change your attitude. You'd be amazed at what happens. Just change your attitude. I know you say, can I just change like that? You mean I've been looking so sad and so unhappy. Then tomorrow morning I just come to work. I can't be happy. I can't do that. Okay, don't do it. If you can change that quickly, results will come that quickly. But if you say, I'm going to do it gradually, it won't work. It won't work. Why? Because we don't like it when people seem to be playing sneaky on us. Imagine all the time when you see me, you go, morning, sir. Every day, morning, sir. You don't even look at me. You know what I'm saying? Then on this day, you just go, good morning, sir. I think, something wrong with you. Then on this day, you just go, good morning, sir. I think, something wrong with you. How do you start that? Start by showing you found something, you've changed. So I'm so sorry for the way I've been treating you. I've learned something. And I chose to change. See, what have you done? You've brought a closure to your past. You see, if you don't bring a closure to it, you look like there's something wrong with you. So you can't just metamorphose into that. So because you can't just metamorphose into it, you would want to do it sneakily, you know, stealthily. That's not going to work. It won't work. Bring a closure to it. That's what forgiveness can do for you. You know, we can forgive and we can also receive forgiveness. To ask for forgiveness. Oh no, you're asking for something that's going to help you. It'll bring a closure to your past and give you a springboard for your future. So get smart about forgiveness, giving it and receiving it. You can make a quick change. He says, if you're ill-treated, he says, pray. Now he tells you, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart and the secret petitions of your heart. The secret petitions of your heart. Oh, how God wants to help every one of us. How God wants to give us a miracle life every day. How God wants to lead us from glory to glory. How he wants to do it all the time. All the time. Nothing is too good for you. And it's never too much for only you. He wants to do it all the time. All the time. Nothing is too good for you. And it's never too much for only you. It's never too much. And I tell people, I'm so blessed. I can't understand it beyond what I said. I'm so, so blessed. You know, how do you explain it? How can someone be so blessed? My goodness. I told you once, I thought I was just so blessed that I started wondering, how can somebody be just so blessed like this? You know? You don't have to talk to me. To show me that, who are those that you know are in heaven? I mentioned their names. Those that the Bible shows us are in heaven. He said, what were they like? I said, they were blessed. They were rich. They were powerful. How was Abraham? How was David? How was Moses? These guys were great. We know they're in heaven. Even Lazarus that went to heaven had to be in Abraham's bosom. Because Lazarus was poor. God made this world. And you know, the world is full of the goodness of God. That's what the Bible says. It says the earth is full of His goodness. The earth reveals, the universe reveals His goodness. If that's true, then God doesn't like poverty. God doesn't like frustration. God likes people happy and prosperous and sound and cheerful. And laughing. God laughs. That's what the Bible says. Prosperous. And sound. And cheerful. And laughing. God laughs. That's what the Bible says about Him. He laughs. There's some of you, you haven't laughed for a long time. You haven't laughed. You find it difficult to laugh. You say there's nothing to laugh about. You don't even remember how to laugh. You get embarrassed if you caught yourself laughing. Yeah. You think you're not serious because you're laughing. No, learn to laugh. I only tell ladies, don't laugh like an old man, you know. I tell ladies, laugh with style. The lady doesn't care. That's not ladylike. Laugh with style. There's a way a lady laughs. I don't mean like this. No, don't cover your mouth. Laugh out, but not like a man. No, laugh well. Times when things seem to get tough, pull back and laugh. And don't say stupid things like, I'm just laughing at them. You're going back into that frustration. You're manifesting frustration. I'm just laughing at them. Don't go that way at all. Laugh. Because you're a child of God. Laugh because laughter is in your spirit. He filled my mouth with laughter. Hallelujah. Learn to laugh. Laugh happy. Laugh happy. Glory to God. Ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Glory. How can I hurry through this? Can I hurry through this? Okay. All right. I want to talk about contentment for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13. I have met people who are just not satisfied with anything. They're never satisfied. Learn to be satisfied. Why you go for more? Today's situation should be satisfied. Hey, what was the definition of joy I gave you? You remember? Joy is what? That emotion that is evoked. Satisfaction, appreciation, and pleasure. Satisfaction. Oh, satisfaction. Satisfaction. I'm always where I am. You know, some people are never where they are. They are here, but their mind is wandering. I'm always where I am. I'm always where I am. You know, some people are never where they are. They are here, but their mind is wandering. I'm always where I am. If I'm here, I'm here. I'm always where I am. And I believe that you should be in God's place, in God's time, for God's purpose, in God's way. See? In your life, you can have satisfaction. Today's satisfaction. Being satisfied doesn't mean that your dream for a greater tomorrow is dead. No. You're satisfied about today. You have dreams for tomorrow. You have dreams for tomorrow. But if you're not satisfied about today, tomorrow's dreams may never materialize. Because you project your frustrations into your dreams. And you find the dreams never just come. And you find the dreams never just come. You never win. It's always, I almost hit it and missed it. Make your life more fulfilling. Amen. So I said Hebrews chapter 13, and we're reading verse 5. I'd like to read to you from, again, the Amplified, okay? Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, in craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way, I will not. Boy, can you imagine that? He says it here 3 times. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Then he says, relax my hold on you. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Whoo! He says, be content with your present circumstances. God knows where you're at. He knows. Because someone was promoted and you were not. Oh, come on. Someone can be promoted 3 times and you are not. The day your own comes. Levakaya. It will come with glory. But between now and then, I'm going to keep keeping on. I'm going to keep my composure. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to be happy and joyful all the way. And I'm going to rejoice with anyone who has been promoted. Because man is coming, glory to God. I'll never feel left out. God said it here. He says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you. Oh. Ah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm talking about contentment. All right? Contentment. Come to a place of contentment. Hallelujah. Yeah. A place of contentment. You're not worried about this and that and that and that. You already have everything. That's the way your life ought to be. Hallelujah. There's a contentment in your spirit. There's a composure. Because your Father owns the world. He owns the world. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. From verse 6. And it is indeed a source of immense profit for godliness accompanied with contentment. That contentment which is a sense of inward sufficiency. Did you see that? Inward sufficiency is great and abundant gain. It's great and abundant gain. Yeah. Godliness with contentment, he says, is great gain. As it got in the King James. For we brought nothing into the world, and obviously we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content, satisfied. But those who crave, now notice what it says here, this is verse 9. Those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful lusts that plunge men into ruin. And destruction and miserable perishing. Wow. People who want to be rich, who struggle to be rich, who drive to be rich. You don't need to do that. No. If you have entered into his rest, you have ceased from your struggles. And watch the glory of God working in you. You never have to try to make a dog learn to bark. It'll bark if it's a dog. It's in its nature. A corn seed will produce corn. An orange seed will produce oranges. Are you listening to me? If you are the seed of Abraham, it will show up in your life. Your prosperity cannot be stopped. You don't have to struggle for it. This thing is in your system. You don't have to struggle for it. This thing is in your system. Discover the features in your life. Discover the features and start living them out. This prosperity is inside you. This glory is inside you. Bring it to the fore. Don't struggle to make it happen. Those who are struggling have not entered into his rest. They are struggling to pay for a house. They are worried because they can't get the house. They're worried because they can't get the car. They're worried and they're worried and they're worried and they're worried and they're worried. And tearing down their life because of this thing that they're looking for. Why are you so worried? Why are you so pained? Are you not the seed of Abraham? Have you forgotten who you are? Have you come to that point of failure? Abraham's seed doesn't fail. He will create the opportunities that will bring you to that place of inheritance that was already planned for you. There's no failure in Christ. How can I discover those things that are in me and bring them out? How can I capitalize in those gifts that God has put within me? Somebody said, I can sing and I can preach. What in the world can I do for God? Oh, so much more. So much more. And so much more you can do for God. Don't forget this. God's not looking for preachers. God's not looking for singers. God's looking for those who just walk in love. That's what He's looking for. If you would do that, you're ready for anything. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Glory to God. Say, Mando Grosik Lahastis. Yeah, Mama, Mama, Mama. Here a ghost. My. Wow. 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 I'm making progress. See, I'm sharing these things with you because if you have them in you, like Peter said, they make you, and you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it says, he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has even forgotten that he was parched from his old sins. Stand up on your feet. Thank you.